No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith and our buddy Doug. Is with us in the studio today. You brought, I don't know, is this somebody you picked up on summer vacation there, Keith, or what? What's going on?
Yeah, I was out at an air show, and he looked lonely, and, you know, so I picked him up. And
is that how it went, Doug?
No, not at all.
You were the lonely one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they came
Doug,
in.
Doug used to work for us, so.
Yeah, I was employee number one.
Very and nice. So, yeah, we had you on the show probably, what, 6 months ago, maybe?
It's maybe
longer
than
that.
A long time.
Time flies.
Time ago, yeah. About 4 or 5 years or so.
I think the last time you were on the show, really? We talked about movies.
Yeah, that's right, we did.
Because you didn't want me on the show.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
Especially when you start talking about movies.
Well, not wanting you on the show is what kind of sparked it for me. I was like, well, that's like every week. No, I kid. You know, I can't make jokes about Keith today because he has his hands full. Relocating airplanes to get them out of Hurricane Irma's way. So, you know, we were taping the show this week, or a couple days early, so maybe we're not here anymore. We're based in Orlando. We don't know at the time that the show airs if we'll have actually it's supposed to come through, what, Sunday-ish, thereabouts?
Yeah, late Sunday, early Monday. Yeah.
So we're probably still partying, having our hurricane party right now. And all the airplanes are out of harm's way. But you haven't done that as we record the show today.
No.
At this particular time. Okay. So we're going to talk about...
Plans have been made.
We're going to talk about what those plans are, but we got to talk about me first. Then we're going to get to that and then talk to Doug.
Of course. I'd never expect anything less.
Of course. Because I got lobsters marinating in the refrigerator right now.
Oh. And so do I get to take some home with me?
Absolutely. Not. So,
I kind of figured that too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have to marinate longer. And you have to go move planes, don't you?
I do have to move airplanes, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, just on a personal note, never try to do a radio show when you can't see. I know it's a thing that a lot of blind folks get into radio and they do that, and God bless them for it. But I just came from the vision doctor to get an update on my prescription and that kind of thing so I can get back
blind?
In the cockpit. I can't see squat. You actually look attractive right now, Keith.
Oh, that's scary. Because that's two people in the same week that thought I was attractive.
What, Doug said that
Doug
to you, too?
Doug was the first one, and now, now you.
I
Boy,
miss
that's
your,
scary.
I miss your lovely face.
Yes.
Okay. We have been drinking. Like I said, hurricane, pre-hurricane party kind of thing going on here at Just Plain Radio today. But, yeah, I did catch some lobsters. I went down to South Florida, and I hooked up with our – hooked up is not the right word. I met up. With our buddy.
Tells me I'm good looking and always talk about hooking up with somebody in South Florida.
Well, Captain Dennis flew down from Minnesota in his Mooney. And he was actually supposed to join us last weekend.
So you hooked up with Dennis?
Well, no, he flew his plane down.
And then you hooked up with him?
No, we didn't. We met. And we met on the dive boat with his two kids. And then we went out and caught lobster
that's
together.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Well, we had a great time, and we did catch some bugs. It was an awesome thing, and you know, it was kind of like his shakedown cruise, as that's how he referred to his trip from Minnesota all the way down to Pompano Beach, Florida, for his Mooney 201. And it's 201, right?
Yes.
Okay. And just double checking on you. I'm testing you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
And he,
you really knew for sure what it was.
Oh, absolutely. You heard me. And so he came down, and they had a flawless flight. Now, you're going to hear all the play-by-play
next
week.
There's never, ever a flawless flight.
Well,
never.
It was on the way down.
No.
It was. He said it went perfectly. He said he couldn't have scripted this or planned it better.
In his mind, it went perfectly. But there's never, ever a perfect flight.
What do you mean?
Ask Doug.
It never goes as planned, totally. It
never
there's
goes
always as... something that comes up that you just have to roll with the punches.
Well, I'll have to have him clarify next week. Because he said that on the way down, It was
of course he's going to say that. Well, because he doesn't want to admit that he screwed anything up.
Well, when he got back home, he called me up. He said, okay, everything was great, like I told you. And we went down to our lobsters, and we got up the next day. We took off from Pompano Beach Airport, flew back to Minnesota. Everything was great till we got back to my home airport, and all hell broke loose. So he's going to give us the update next week on the show. I'm going to sit down with him on the show and go through this whole process, how he planned the flight and all that, and we'll learn together from
how it didn't happen.
No.
You just don't believe it went well.
Don't believe it.
Well, you don't even believe the first half went well?
It might have gone very well, but yeah. It doesn't mean it was perfect.
Well, okay, perfect. I mean, perfect is a non-achieving level of expertise, well, right?
See, now you're on our same page.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I mean, when you plan a flight and it goes according to plan, you don't have to deviate or anything. I think that's what he was, you know, claiming as being perfect. And, you know, hey, you know, that I would be happy with that, wouldn't you?
Sure.
What would you call that? Not perfect, but what?
That's just a successful flight.
Successful. Okay, yes. We'll go with successful on the way down, but on the way back.
You had
back,
just as many takeoffs as you did landings. You're in good shape.
Well, you know.
It's a good ratio.
That's true. That is a good ratio. But that's not perfect. That's just successful.
That's right.
Okay, and so perfect
is. Because it's all the stuff that happens in between time that, you know, may not have been perfect.
All right.
You know, you might have, you know, one of those gray lines, you know, between the regs, whether or not it was. Yeah, you know.
Is he IFR rated?
He is. Oh. Actually, him and his son, Austin, was co-piloting all the way with him, and he said they were an awesome team because, you know, he would sit there, be flying the plane or doing something, and Austin would be tuning in the radios for the next VOR or, you know.
So that means he was never, ever off his altitude, never, ever off his heading, never, ever off his airspeed.
Well, he was running the autopilot the entire way, he said, pretty much. He said he has two autopilots in this Mooney, and it was just going flawlessly. He loved it. He said
autopilots don't maintain altitude perfectly either.
Well, he has altitude.
Not even on the airplanes that he flies.
Well, yeah. there's an altitude thingy that keeps him up there.
Is.
And he has that in the Mooney.
But it's still not going to maintain it perfectly.
Well, okay. So he's monitoring the autopilot. And when it gets a little wiggy, he's making adjustments, I guess. Or just yelling
at the autopilot.
Here, get back up to altitude, damn you!
He talks to his son that way, not the autopilot.
Oh, that could be.
Hopefully. I mean, there are people that talk to machines that way, but, you know.
Well, I do. Of course.
So.
Computers, you gotta talk dirty to them sometime to get them to give you what you want.
Well, maybe that's what Ed needs to do with our four flight.
Maybe.
What's wrong with your four flight?
Ed screwed it up.
He messed up our four flight account?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
Why? What's wrong?
He downloaded some stuff in there, and now we have little red dots, you know, that need to be updated, and you can't update them.
Oh, jeez.
And I hate to have updates that I have to do.
Okay. And you've been working on that because you have to relocate.
No, I've been telling him to work on it.
Okay. You messed it up. You got to do all the work.
Well, I'm just going to mess it up more. I mean
right.
We all know that I don't know anything about computers.
Computras are not Captain Key's friend. I do know this about you.
So I just had a little. I'm in a conversation with his son right now, asking him to fix the problem.
Okay,
because Ed can't do it.
Consult a millennial. It always works in
most
electronic situations.
That is what you do for sure. But yeah, I mean that's what worked.
But see, the reason why I have to do that is because as long as I've known Ed, he's always complained about the fact that his dad is ignorant when it comes to computers. Well, then he has me as a business partner who's just as ignorant as his dad is, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Because as you've heard him tell the story many times, when he and I first started, I didn't even know what Google was. Mm. And so
what's the Google?
So he has to train me on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But so he's always complaining about the fact that anytime his dad has a problem with a computer, he calls Ed. And
right.
Ed gets frustrated. Well, Ed just had a problem that he couldn't fix, so he called his son.
Hmm.
And his son fixed the problem.
Okay.
And so I told Ed he's turning into his dad.
And of course, that went over well.
That went over like a lead balloon, probably.
Yeah, it went over like a...
So that explains why he's not here as part of the crew today.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he's drowning his sorrows or something? Is that what he's doing?
He's
right
calling
now?
It a hurricane something or other, but that's what he's really drowning it in, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So one line.
You know, people accuse us of being married, and you know we do argue about silly things sometimes, and this is one of those things.
Yeah.
Wait. Married to each other?
Married in business, yeah.
Oh, okay. Just, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Just wanted to clarify.
You have accused us of being married before. You know that.
Yes, they do act like an old married couple at times.
They do.
At times. So, but God bless them. They're good folks. And you got a big a full plate of stuff to deal with
we do.
Right now. And we got to talk about this. And
we're fighting over the same woman.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure I want to. I feel.
Her name is Irma.
Okay. Well, that is true. You know, you may not have a hurricane to deal with like us in Florida right now, but you can learn from our pain and the hoops and stuff that we got to jump through right now because, you know, weather could happen anywhere and you might have to protect your plane. We'll talk about how we're preparing and what you can learn from it next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So I get off the plane and I forgot to undo my seatbelt and I'm pulling the plane through the terminal. And the wings are knocking people over. And then I almost broke both my arms trying to hold open a revolving door for a woman.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly again, learn to live so free. Take these broken wings.
This is Just Plane Radio. Hopefully the wings won't be broken after Hurricane Irma. But, you know, it could happen. And Keith and Ed are taking precautions to protect their fleet of airplanes and flight training professionals. And we got to talk about that. What you guys exactly are doing. Are you just flying out of harm's way? Are you batting down the hatches and tying things down in weird knots that we can't even pronounce? Or what are you doing?
There will be no knots tied.
No knot tying.
No.
Because
we're going to put the airplanes in a hangar.
Going to put them in a hangar,
right?
Here in Orlando, or
yes.
Are you flying? Oh, yeah,
no, in Orlando. Mm-hmm. We've got somebody on the field that allows us to put our airplanes in their hangar.
Okay,
and that hangar was built within the last 15 years or so. So it's pretty hurricane durable.
Right on, and
right
on.
So we've done that for the last couple of hurricanes that have come through.
Okay. Was there talk of flying to another city at one point? I know you talked about that last year when we had a hurricane scare.
When Matthew was coming through?
I think maybe it was.
Yep. So that's always a possibility. And mm-hmm. so what we do is we just kind of watch the storm and see how what the impact is going to be to us. And if it's going to be, you know, a Category 4 or greater, we're going to fly the airplanes out.
Ah, so it has to be a Category 4 in Orlando for you guys to say, okay, we're going to fly out of Dodge.
Right.
Right now, they're predicting it's still too early.
Still too early to
know for sure, but the latest track I saw has it coming up the east coast of Florida, offshore, hopefully, where would we be on the weaker side? Maybe we'd be in a 2 or 3 type of range.
Right.
Hopefully, worst case.
Yes. So right now, the latest prediction is about 50 to 75 miles off the eastern shore when it's abeam Orlando.
Right. Now, we are recording the show on a Wednesday afternoon, so that's literally 3 days before this hurricane. So we could be totally off base.
Yes, we could.
When you're listening to this on Saturday. So just keep that in mind. And know that we may or may not still be on this planet. We could have been blown away to Alaska, but you'll probably see it on, you know, Fox News and CNN and all those.
Well, then we'll resurrect the Flying Alaska show.
Okay, we could do that. Absolutely.
We know some people up there. We
have connections. We do.
Flying Wild Alaska.
I think we ought to bring it back. Yeah. So, what about you, Doug? What are you doing for this thing?
I'm driving out of town.
Okay.
I got wrapped up with training on Monday down in Miami, and I decided to zigzag my way out of Florida on my way up to Cincinnati, Ohio. So I should be high and dry.
Yes.
By the time this storm impacts us. However, if they decide, hey, we need a bunch of pilots to fly the airplanes out, I'd be happy to come back down and pitch
to a system.
But yeah. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
So yeah, like Doug is Keith and Ed's like first. Is he here?
I'm employee number one.
Employee number one at Flight Training Professionals from back in the day. And now he's spread his wings and flown off into more productive and...
I wouldn't say more productive.
No.
just flown on to some bigger flying.
Bigger, yeah.
I'm not sure necessarily you can get better. More... productive than training somebody new how to fly.
Exactly. That was some very rewarding stuff, is teaching people to fly. And it's funny because I was looking at one of the seniority sheets, mm-hmm. and the very first student I ever signed off for a private pilot license is flying a 747 now.
How about that?
It all started with my help, and that just... kind of went full circle. So that's pretty cool.
And here you are being a guest on Just Plain Radio.
And now I'm on a guest on Just Plain Radio.
You've soared very high and come all the way back down to earth.
Yeah.
Back to reality.
The Lord always seems to humble you.
Oh, yeah, that may be accurate. But yeah, that is cool. And I bet you feel very proud about that, right, Keith?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. And so you were doing some training down in South Florida.
We enjoyed having Doug as an instructor until we kicked him out.
Well, they don't have their whipping boy anymore. So,
no.
You know, they've had some, but they just can't whip as hard.
Well, I don't know. I've taken a few lashings on this show weekly.
Trust me, we have plenty.
I may have just, segued into that position.
So I'm not special. Mm-hmm. You treat everybody like this?
Oh, exactly.
But what did you do down in...
opportunity treater.
Yeah, abuser. So you were down in South Florida and training to fly bigger planes?
Yep. I was hired by Atlas Air, and they brought me down to the Miami Training Center to learn systems and how to fly the Boeing 747.
Sweet.
Queen of the skies.
Atlas Air is a what?
Atlas Air is mostly a cargo company that they do individual contracts with DHL, Amazon, and the United States Military. They do some passenger service, but 90% of their stuff is all cargo.
Yeah. Does that mean you're going to be doing like a third shift flying schedule, like UPS?
I'll be doing every kind of flying there is.
Whatever they have.
Whatever it is. That schedule goes 24/7.
I actually met a UPS pilot out at Clay's wedding last week, Keith. And a real cool guy. I knew him in the dive industry for years, and I had no idea he was a pilot for UPS. And I said, well, how does that work for you? He goes, I love it. I said, but don't you got to fly like night flights like all the time? He goes, well, yeah, but I get to fly anywhere I want. And I jump seat a lot. That's how he had gotten to the wedding out there in Wyoming. And then, you know, we had a great little conversation. But he loves that gig.
Yeah.
And he says very flexible for his flying. But he does like international flights and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I had no idea. I just thought he was some diver schlub like me. And lo and behold, I find out he's like a super pilot.
Craig.
Yeah.
There's no diver schlubs.
Well, that's
you're the only one. You're the only one.
I'm the only diver schlub you know. Well, that may be. That very well may be. But he seemed very happy in that position. So would you compare it to something like that or probably an upgrade?
Oh, no, that's exactly the same thing.
Same thing?
You know, if you're a happy wanderer, this is the job for you.
Yeah.
You're going to see all over the world. You're going to do all kinds of flying. So,
well, he was saying in those cargo planes, they have like, some of them have like 8 jump seats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the 747, you've got the 2 pilot seats, and then you have 2 jump seats right behind them for observation and,
right,
and international relief officer duties. And then in the basically the hump of the airplane, there's about another 6 seats back there on,
wow,
on some of the airplanes. So, yeah, if you ever want to go to Alaska and you're an airline pilot, just come into Cincinnati. We go there, Cincinnati to Anchorage back and forth all the time.
Really?
It's a global operation, you know, Incheon, Korea.
There's
Hong
a lot
Kong.
Of commerce going between so, Cincinnati and Alaska. I didn't realize
it's,
this.
It's a big hub. It yeah? just
what are they like sharing like moose parts for Cincinnati beer or
it's
something
a,
or Skyline chili?
It's a what? Good fuel stop from the Orient or Asia to Anchorage and then to Cincinnati and then the distribution hubs out of there. So.
Okay, well there you go. Learn stuff new all the time. Well, it sounds like a pretty good gig. We're going to get a little bit more into that with Doug. Talk more about how you can secure your plane in inclement weather that's headed your way next, right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Keith, and Captain Doug helping us out. He just got certified on 747s. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But all right, so we're dealing with Hurricane Irma. And Keith just said he's putting their fleet of airplanes of, I don't know, about 10-ish thereabouts, right?
Eight.
Okay. And you're putting them in a hangar, which obviously, if you have that luxury, that's the way to go.
Right.
If you don't, which is probably most folks, you know, especially if they're traveling or something and got caught in one of these things in an island or something like that, what would you do? What's the best way to anchor down your plane? Just tie it. You can't just tie it down to the runway, can you?
Yeah, most of the tie downs just aren't going to hold, especially in a storm like this.
Yeah, it's going to be like a kite and fly that plane to, you know, wherever, Cincinnati,
right.
then Anchorage.
The best thing is to fly the airplane out. And most insurance companies, by the way, will pay to fly the airplane. Usually it's about 75 miles outside of any hurricane warnings.
Okay.
And so they'll pay all the fuel and so forth and for you to do that. Because it's cheaper, obviously, for the insurance company.
Will they pay for your hotel stay and stuff once you get there?
No.
Oh, see, that would be good. You could just plan a little mini vacation. Yeah, I'm going to fly to Hilton Head.
Well, unfortunately, they're not paying for you. They're paying for the airplane. So.
Well, yeah, but that was the only place I could fly the plane to.
Well, that.
And I, you know, what am I supposed
Hilton
to do?
Hilton Head may not be the brightest idea at this storm.
No.
Well, not but, for this one, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere out
I'm
west.
I'm going to Bama.
Going to Alabama?
I'm going to Alabama.
I go all the way out to Wyoming. It was really nice out there.
That's probably where I would go.
Yeah.
Someplace like that.
We got an invite. Now, we could probably stay at Clay's place.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't, you know, care that I just mentioned that to an international audience right now. But just go to Captain Clay's place. He'll take you in. He has all kinds
he's
of toys
a nice
and
guy.
Stuff.
He would do it.
Super
he's
nice
not,
guy.
He's not going to turn anybody away.
Probably not. But you might face...
He took you in. He ain't going to turn anybody away.
Actually, he had me stay in some place nearby, not at his place. Because he knows me, of course. All right, enough nonsense. All right, just find a place to get out to. That's one way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some tie-down options and that kind of stuff next, right here on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and his buddy Doug, who is the first flight instructor for flight training professionals. He's in the studio with us today, just stopping by as we prepare for Hurricane Irma here at the broadcast headquarters. All right, so we're going to dig in to what Doug is doing a little deeper in just a bit, but I want to make sure we cover this space well. If you have an airplane and you know, you can get it out of harm's way if weather or hurricane or just, you know, a big thunderstorm you hear is coming your way, what do you do? You can, obviously, you can fly it out of harm's way, or you have to come up with some alternative like a hangar, or isn't there some, like, foolproof or the best way you could possibly tie down your plane, Keith? If you say you have, like, a 182 or a Piper Saratoga like Captain Clay or a Mooney 201 like Dennis, what could they do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you got to have the 3-point tie downs, you know, one on each wing and one on the tail.
Right.
It's got to be 3 points. Second of all, you can't use like the dog chain tie downs that just kind of auger into the ground about, what are they, 8, 10, 12 inches or something like that. You need something that's really going to go down deep, a good 3 to 4 feet into the ground, preferably into concrete or asphalt or something. That'll really hold it straight.
Which and then the airport or the FBO would have that, right? That's what they typically have?
Well, a lot of the airports in the U.S. do, but a lot of the airports in the islands do not have that.
Right.
So you really have to be careful when you go to the islands to make sure that if a storm is coming, get out of there. Either that or you have to have brought your own tie downs. Mm-hmm. And there you're only going to be able to tie down in the grass. You're not going to have anything that's going to go through any of the asphalt or concrete that they've got. So, and second of all, once you've got it tied down, try and get it as much into the wind as possible when you tie it down.
Okay.
That way, it's not going to beat up the controls. Make sure you get your control locks in so that the controls aren't just
flopping all over
the place with the wind. So
got it.
And then make sure your tie downs are strong enough to actually hold the airplane. A lot of people use ropes for years and years and years, and especially here in Florida, the UV rays really takes a beating on the strands and the rope.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you replace them. Get some good, strong rope. Tie them down tight.
Yeah. And you want something with a little give in it, though, right? Like that rope, you wouldn't like want a metal cable or anything, because that's just going to rip it.
Right. Yeah, you need want to have a little spring. Bit of give, but it's got to have that tension strength.
Yeah. All right, so you just go to any vendor like Sporty's or whatever, and what are the best?
You know, you can get it at your local hardware store as well.
And you make up your own,
but
you want to drill down deep, like 3 or 4 feet, and get something down like that. Or if you're at a airport, you know they have those things, and they do that. They take them down in the cement. If they just blocked in the cement, they should be okay, right?
Right. Yep.
They're planning for that kind of thing, but the ultimate thing would be to have a hangar.
Either have a hangar that's rated for the weather that the wind that you're going to have come through, or fly it out. Those are the two best options.
Now, what if you have the option of tie downs or a hangar, but you don't know if the hangar is going to survive?
I'd take the hangar.
You'd take the hangar still?
Take the hangar still.
Yeah. I mean, they don't put tie downs in the hangars, do they?
No. Yeah. Not usually.
So you just have to take your chance. I mean, the insurance companies would probably, I don't know, they smile more on that option than leaving it outside tied down.
Yeah, definitely. Because if something comes blown across the ramp, you know, a tree gets knocked down somewhere else, goes blown across the ramp, takes out your airplane, or somebody else doesn't get their airplane tied down well enough, and it comes loose and it comes across, you know. Whereas if it's in a hangar, you know, at least the hangar can stop that.
Yeah. And the reason, you know, I'm talking about this so much, we had this happen at Sun and Fun a few years ago.
Happen back in 2004 when Charlie came through.
Well, Charlie was one thing, but remember at Sun and Fun, we just had a big thunderstorm come through.
Right. Yep.
We had tornado warnings. Man, it created a huge mess.
A lot of airplanes flipped upside down and stuff, yeah.
And then, you know, one plane run into another is just a massive Charlie Foxtrot, I think is the technical term.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you want to be aware of all that stuff. So whether you have to deal with hurricanes or not, this is something you need to take into consideration.
Even just a good afternoon thunderstorm, and that'll happen anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
You know, where you get a good afternoon thunderstorm, because you can easily get a 50 or 60 knot gust of wind out of a thunderstorm.
Sure. And you mentioned the 3-point tie down thing. What if you do only two, like the two wings, what happens? The tail will flip up in the air?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The tail will start going back and forth, and eventually, you know, it could work. But you're just taking a chance.
Yeah.
And you're taking an awful lot of pressure on that nose wheel
mm-hmm.
because it's going up and down and up and down. The airplane's coming back down in that nose wheel all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So you just want to get all three done. Just get into a good habit of doing it right every time,
yep.
which is what you ingrain.
We do. From day one, we teach them how to
tie
them
down. From your first flight instructor. That's how you were taught, right, Doug?
That's right. From day one, you just immediately start the basic fundamentals of tying the airplane down. It's all part and parcel of it.
Yeah. Well, very nice. All right. So let's talk more about what Doug is up to.
Okay.
Because he was down here in Florida doing some training for Atlas Air.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're all certified. You're good to go?
Yep. Certified as a pilot in command of a Boeing 747.
747. So you were doing that on a flight simulator,
yes,
right?
Yes. Level D flight simulator. It's close to the real thing as you can get.
Yeah. So that you went from flying what to this? Because that's a pretty big-ass plane, isn't
it? The first airplane that I left FT Pros for was the Embraer 120.
Okay.
Moved up to the Embraer 145, which was the jet version.
Right.
And then got hired on a company with Boeing 767s, and that got me my international experience, and now it's going to be a Boeing 747. Doing this kind of the same flying, but mm-hmm. just a bigger airplane.
Now, yeah, the main thing that you were doing in that job prior to this was that international travel. That's what you were hoping for?
Yeah. It's you know, thrilling to be able to experience Asia 1 week, Europe the next, and be able to go home every now and then and have a very wonderful mix in your life. It never gets boring.
It's
never a dull moment.
Yeah. Now, when you're flying a 747, though, are you going to be the pilot in command?
I will be pilot in command. It's where you're crossing the oceans or flying across the continent. The pilot in command cannot sit in an airplane for 12 hours and expect to function when you're landing.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of breaks taken during flight. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have a flight that leaves from Cincinnati, Ohio, that goes all the way to Incheon, Korea
wow.
for 14 hours. So for 7 hours of that flight, the pilot in command is going to be sleeping in the back where the other two crew members will come up and relieve them. And in order to sit in that left seat, you want to have a pilot in command rating. So that's
sure.
why we all, quote unquote, train as captains.
Very cool. So, I mean, that just sounds so cool to do.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, but that was a big jump from that one airplane, the 45, you said,
uh-huh, yeah.
to the 747. I mean,
that's
does
correct.
It fly? When you get behind the controls and you're dealing with all this computer stuff, does it kind of just feel the same?
Yeah, the computers, you know, obviously it's a flight management system, but the G-1000 is much more advanced than the stuff I'm flying in the Boeing 747.
Really?
Yeah. The G-1000 was designed in the early 2000s, and most of the stuff that we're flying with was designed in the late 80s.
Yeah. So you're like catch up to the 90s guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and but flying an airplane is flying an airplane. You know, houses get bigger, houses get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you have a lot more mass. And a lot of times it just feels like you're flying a big old Cadillac.
Yeah.
And it's not a sports car, but it's a big old Cadillac. So you just have a different feel to it and different anticipation.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, because Dennis was telling me about his flight down to Pompano Beach the other day and his Mooney 201. And he said he ran the autopilot like the whole time. He goes, I didn't hardly have to do anything. I just sat there and monitored the autopilot. Is that pretty much what you're doing? Or do you get to say, you know what, I'm bored. I got 7 hours to kill here. I'm going to fly manual for a couple hours.
They don't want you to fly a cruise manual. But most guys, you know, they don't like to click the autopilot on until 10,000 feet after takeoff. And then typically when they get in the terminal area, you want to do some flying. You know, it's great to rely on the automation, but, you know, there's nothing better in the world than, you know, putting the controls in your hand and landing it yourself.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm sure. Well, you have to do it at that point, but you're not allowed to do that at altitude and say, yeah, you know, I'm bored, let me just flip that off.
It's frowned upon.
So there's some activities going on in the cockpit.
You can easily screw it up.
Well, in the RVSM airspace, you're not allowed to hand fly. It's got to be flown by the autopilot.
Well, how would they know? Are they logging this when they know you flip it off on the manual?
They know a lot.
It's the Google.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Night by night, away from here. Change my life again. Night by night, goodbye, my dear. Ship is a coming, I'm a just captain saying.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and our buddy Doug. I can call you a buddy now, can
sure,
I?
Sure, absolutely. All right.
Yeah, you're a 747 pilot. I know you.
Be careful.
They're close personal friends now. He said hi to me once. So, look, Doug just got certified on this. That is so cool. I bet you feel... I mean, you've accomplished.
I'm on cloud
something.
Nine. Yeah. It's a great accomplishment.
Next thing, you'll be flying on cloud nine.
Yeah, I've had this dream for a long time. You know, the 747 is a very iconic airplane, and I really can't believe that I'm actually going to be able to sit in one and take off and land in it.
That's sweet. So you'll do this for a while, and then maybe you'll – is there a goal beyond this?
No. I'm hoping this is my last new hire class, and I hopefully retire on this airplane.
All right. So you'll do this, and within 5 years, you'll be replaced by a computer.
God, I hope not.
According to Airbus and who else
Airbus
is working
and
on
Boeing.
Airbus and Boeing.
Airbus and Boeing.
The technology exists. It's out there.
Well, we just talked about how the autopilot – They won't even let you fly the plane manually.
They can do it.
Once you do your takeoffs and landings, right? Mm-hmm.
But we're a heck of an insurance policy.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But the military has been using this technology for years.
Yeah. Where they? Well, they've been flying the drones, you mean?
Flying the drones, yeah.
So they're ready.
We've got a customer of ours who, I think we've talked about him before, that he flies drones overseas from California.
Really? That's just nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But it's nuts.
And the drone that he flies is about the size of a DC-9.
Wow. That's a big-ass drone.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no little quadcopter we're talking about.
No.
So, I mean, are you concerned about that taking over the industry from your perspective there, Doug? What do you think?
Honestly, I think the insurance companies will be the ones that put the big stop to it because of... You can do it. However, if you've ever seen the YouTube videos of drones crashing, all of a sudden there'll be a controller going, I've lost it. What's it doing? I don't know. Well, do you want to have that happen with 300 people behind you?
Yeah, I don't think you do.
And the second that happens, that's a heck of a lawsuit.
Have you ever seen an airliner come down with two pilots on board the airplane?
That is true, too. However.
Technology exists. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you think it's going to happen regardless?
I think so.
I think you're probably right.
Because the airlines, it's their biggest cost is the flight crews.
That is true.
Compared to actually purchasing the airplanes, or I should say after purchasing the aircraft, it's their largest cost.
Yeah. But I, you know, if that were to come, you would think, well, maybe they'll just move the pilots, you know, into a simulator. And have them flying it down on the ground, like you said, in California, flying a flight out in Cincinnati, for instance, or something. But the problem is they're not going to use pilots. They're probably going to use some punk kid who grew up playing Xbox and can, you know, do that stuff, you know, like those drones and stuff.
Right.
That would drive me a little wacky.
Yeah, it would be, you know what I mean? That would be a scary situation.
I'd be annoyed if I was a pilot at that level. And you're like, you're going to replace me with what?
Yeah. You work long and hard to get to where you're at, and all of a sudden you're going to get replaced by a computer.
But I think you're good for a few years.
Well, there's a lot of it takes a lot of new technology, but there's still a lot of old technology out there that we're flying. So it'll take a little while to implement.
Well, like you said, your 747 was from the 80s.
Yeah, it was designed in the 80s, built in the 90s. So it's going to take some guys like me to keep them going for a few more years.
Right. Now, can you tell it was built in the 80s when you get in this thing?
No, they maintain them very well.
Yeah. Well, they keep upgrading them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at least, I can only talk about the cabin part.
Yeah.
They put those cool little, you know, screens in the seats.
There's no cabin in his airplane.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true. He's
it's a big empty hole.
Yeah. So it's just a big cavernous space.
Big cavernous space.
Kind of like his head.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't you fill it up with useful information,
Keith? It's filled with mush.
I tried once.
He tried?
And then he left.
And then he just got all stirred up in there.
Just like the information.
Yeah. Well, it shortly left the building.
As it sometimes does, but that's, you know, this is what happens. But that's okay. But that is very cool that you've done it. And, I think you got plenty of you work ahead of you, you said. This ain't going to happen overnight, even if it does happen.
Yeah.
It might be a progressive kind of thing where, you know, we'll see over the next few years.
Yep.
Maybe it'll offset a little bit of that pilot shortage. I mean, because of that, by the way, are you commanding, like, big bucks?
We're in contract negotiations, so hopefully we'll be getting FedEx, UPS money soon. But as they say, it's ongoing.
Well, when you say FedEx, UPS money, they pay big money to those guys?
They typically lead the industry along with Delta, United,
so my UPS buddy, he's making big bucks?
He is now.
Okay. Well,
I'm
going to have to hit him up.
There you go.
Now, I keep borrowing Keith's credit card, but it's maxed out. So I may have to start hitting
Leanne
him up.
Must have gotten a hold of it.
No, him.
Yeah, it was me.
It's him and Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a whole lot worse than my wife.
Oh, jeez.
I'll take my wife any day.
Yeah. She's a nice gal.
She is. You know her.
I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that was a compliment, wasn't it?
I think. somewhere.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to take it as one. Anyway, so you go back home to Cincinnati,
yep.
And then you start working for these guys right away, or what?
Well, they give you typically about 10 days to decompress, and then you just wait for your turn to show up for initial operational experience,
yeah.
And you'll be paired up with a senior captain who's going to show you the ropes, show you how to effectively... get the airplane up, get the airplane down safely, and what your job entails.
Is there a route that you get to pick from, or nope. They just say, no, we want you here, nope. Blah, blah, blah.
Show up here on this date, and here's your airline ticket.
Yeah.
So it's just be ready for your name to be called.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier you had a route between, Cincinnati, Alaska, and Korea?
Yeah, actually.
South Korea?
Yeah, South Korea. Are
you paid extra for the show going on there right
actually,
now? Or
no, that's still not hostile flying, but yeah, you're 10 miles from the border when you land in Incheon.
I would think so.
Would you get hostile pay if you go into North Korea?
That would definitely be hostile pay. And they have landed there during friendlier times. But
Hostile pay. What is that? They throw in like a bulletproof vest or something? Is that part of it?
Unfortunately, the companies do is they always have an out.
Say it's not as hostile as you think it is. Yes. So, just go there. They'll be fine. Tell them Joe sent you.
There you go.
Okay. On that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.